I've shared a few times in the past couple of months about abiding and how the Lord provides for us a place of abiding in Him, and we abide as branches in the or as part of the vine, growing with fruit coming out from the vine. And Phil shared a couple of weeks ago about truth and the absolute truth that God is, that He is who He says He is, He has done what He has and will do what He has said He will do. I don't know if Phil put it exactly that way, but that will cover it. Started here. And the thing that touched me and started me looking at this to share as a message is something else, something that was within Phil's message, and that was about creation. Creation is not just a good idea. You know, men have tried to figure that out. They've looked at the scripture and tried to accommodate creation and what we see in the world, and there is no accommodation in the world. Jesus is the creator. I read earlier at the opening, the first part of the Gospel of John, and I emphasized verse 3, all things came into being through Him. That is creation. All things came into being. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. We see on a day like today, it's a beautiful day. We rejoice in the creation. The spring is a wonderful time to see the handiwork of God. But His handiwork goes through all things. It's not just the beauty of the flowers and the, for He says that, look at the lilies of the field, see how they neither toil nor spin, but God creates them, brings them forth, and He doesn't keep them from falling and drying up and being going on to finish out what He has assigned for them. He has made for them the life that they give and bring, and that we can see, and we can see God in them. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes that all things were created through Him and for Him. The creation is, we are part of His creation. And what I want to emphasize is that it's not just a thought. It's not just a good thought. It's not just something we need to wonder about. It is true. It is real. God has done this. God, through Jesus, has created all things. And just as He has promised, He will come again and He will restore that which was lost in the garden. That was cursed in the garden. The creation isn't what it was intended to be. We can see it, we can rejoice in it, and we can participate, I guess, is a way to look at it, in His purpose. The creation is His, and it is His to use according to His purpose. Continuing down further in the Gospel of John, first chapter there, in verse 9, there was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, this is us, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, I have read these verses many times, studied them, heard teachings on them, and it is rich and full, and the Lord is desiring for us to know him through all that he has done and all that he is doing. As many as received him. That is what I was talking about, abiding. When we receive him, we abide in him. We know, come to know him. He wants us, when we abide with him, it's like living in his home. He has provided, he has made the way. It is surely a glorious place, as the songwriter attached the word mansions that he has set aside for, that he has made for us in heaven when he went away. But it is not to glorify us. It is to provide for us. It is to fill us. It is to give us all that we need spiritually, because the world, because we're living in a cursed creation, we struggle to understand, and we try to figure out how it is that God has done what he has done. Or there are those that try to figure out, assume that God isn't, and how did this happen? God's power is beyond our understanding, and he is desiring to exercise, he has exercised his power in all this creation, in all these things. It is spiritual power. It is spiritual life. We have, when we are born again, when we are saved and cleansed by his blood, we have been changed. We die with him who died for our sin, and we live with him who is raised from the dead. We live in him, and he lives in us, and he shows us and cares for us. And I hesitate to use the word, but he tolerates us, I guess. He doesn't just tolerate us. He loves us because we have been cleansed entirely. I shared when I spoke a few weeks ago out of Romans 8, a very familiar verses to you, to us. And also the end of chapter 7. Uh, beginning in verse 20 of chapter 7. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, we are struggling in this creation right now. That's our problem, and we are surrounded by people who are struggling to understand. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we desire to do good. We desire to be in communion with him and with those who love him. I find the one who wishes to do good. Verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. This, I'm going to continue on into chapter 8, but just for a moment, this is our testimony, or this is our experience. Our testimony is what's in chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We have no condemnation, but it's because of what he has done, not because what we have done or are doing or are, will be asked to do. We will, as we live with him and walk with him, we will be, he will reveal his will to us and his desire for us. And our love for him will become our testimony. Just as Steve was sharing on at the men's conference, the testimony of Jesus. Our reflection of his light. And maybe it's not reflection. Maybe it's exactly, maybe it is him within us. You know, I'm not going to go there. That gets too confusing. He is within us. We are in him. His light is in us. He is the light of men, as John says, tells us, and assures us. And he's not, this is not just something that's sort of maybe and if. That I think that's really the essence or the emphasis of what I want us to understand, and what I took away from Phil's teaching is that truth is in God. It is entirely in God. And it is true, it is his purpose and his plan that we should know him and that we should have his light in us and that it should come forth from us and it should be seen by us. And it's not just light. It's an aroma, as Paul tells us. It's an aroma of life to life for those who are living and death to death for those who are dying. That men would want to know who he is because of his people who have been touched and by his and cleansed by his blood. We know we struggle and we know we have shortcomings and we have no ability to change that, but he does. And by his Holy Spirit, chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are in him. There is no condemnation for us. Yes, it may look like it ought to be, and the enemy's going to try to tell you that, but there is no condemnation in the one who is able to condemn, who has the right, who has the authority. He is not condemning. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer subject to the law of sin and death. He has set us free. We have the Holy Spirit, and in the Spirit we have life in Jesus. And that life is, he wants to share with us. He wants us to share it together, his people. He gave us his word that we might be able to dwell on and seek him and commune with him and by the Holy Spirit, and that we can share together and see and encourage one another. For what the law, verse 3, for what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. It's being fulfilled in us because he fulfilled it, and he is in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We walk according to what Pete was saying about Heidi. She was walking in accordance with the Spirit. She had life in the Spirit. When her body, physical body, gave up and she was called home, she was called in the Spirit and is a spiritual being. We are all spiritual beings, but we're more tangled up. She has received that reward. Hope and Jay and Charles and Mariana, Ricky, praise God. They saw it. They experienced it. They lived in it. And now they are eternally with our Lord Jesus. We are eternal beings, but I'm still stuck in time. But it won't be forever. What is forever is the Lord Jesus. I wanted to I want us to think, consider, and realize that as we are in this world is a fallen place, and I don't have to remind you of that, but somehow the enemy would tempt us to try to figure out how to fix it or to know what we ought to do and try to do better and that we can help. And he has to do it. He is the one who has overcome the world, not us. And we will not. Are not able to. What he says in what I just read there. For what the law could not do. The law is right. Is correct. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh. The flesh can't live up to the law. God did. Sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. When it says he condemned, he put it to death. And we who are in him, in us, it is put to death. The world is filled with evil and with tribulation. I was struck yesterday by the news that Iran had openly attacked Israel, and you know we can see. I encourage you to seek the Lord for understanding in all that's going on in the Middle East. But Israel is still are still God's people. And I don't know exactly what he's doing at this time, why this specifically has occurred. There may be those who do understand it. I don't. And, you know, my immediate thought when I saw that is, I wonder if this is it. I wonder if this is going to be the end. Or I wonder if there's going to be such devastation that spreads that we are completely engulfed in it. Well, if it is, if we are going to be engulfed in it, it is because he wants us to be engulfed in it. And he will carry us through. He will carry us to heaven. He will carry us through the things on this earth. In chapter 8, familiar verses of Romans again, chapter 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we know not how to pray. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit is interceding. The Lord Jesus is interceding for us that we might know and we might have the faith to believe and to trust him through all of this turmoil and all of this tribulation and trial and pain that we may have to go through. He has not promised he's going to reestablish the United States into the comfortable place that we have, that I grew up in. He is going to call his people, bring his people home. He is going to fill this earth with himself. He is going to fix. He is going to cleanse. Not going to fix it. He's going to cleanse the earth from all the evil that men have done and are doing. He is going to cleanse. Babylon is going to fall, as Judy spoke of, or no, that was you, Yvonne, was telling us, talking about. Babylon will fall. All these things will come. Is it going to happen today? I don't know. Will it happen soon? It sure looks like it. Again, in Romans 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? He has given us all things. He is able to do this. He has the authority to do it. He has the power to do it. He will do it. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. He has the authority to justify and the right which he has paid for. Who is the one who condemns? Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword or loss of our home or loss of our loved ones or loss of our living? For just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. For him, unto his purpose, he who loves us will call us unto his purpose, and we will live for him with him forever in the presence of the Father and all of the saints. Verse 37, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul here is by the Holy Spirit is promising what will happen and how God will bring us through. I have to say that I have, when I read verse 38 and 39, I hear the song. You know, that's what's in my mind. And the song that they put that to music, you know, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. I better not do that, it'll hurt you. It's not a song in itself. It is true. Nothing will separate us from him. He is able to carry us through. He is able to protect us. He is able to slaughter us. And all according to his purpose and his goodness and his mercy and his love and care. Just to add to this same, what the Lord is saying here through the Apostle Paul in Colossians, verse 16, chapter 1, verse 16. For in him all things were created, in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. And he is before all things, before the foundations of the world. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I'm going to stop there for a moment and emphasize. He made everything from nothing. Everything. He made it. He knows how it goes together. He's read the book. He wrote the manual. You know, it's not a manual. It was his creative power that all these things have been put together the way they are. Everything that we see, everything that we think we discover, he already knows. And he has the ability to change it. And he has the ability to destroy evil and set things in accordance with his kingdom. And that heaven will, that all things will be brought together under his feet, under his rulership, under his kingship. Back in Colossians 1:18, he is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Those are not idle words. That's not just pretty language and poetry, if it could be made poetry. It is God the Father's pleasure. The Godhead is pleasing itself, and we are brought in with our Lord Jesus, for he loves us and cares for us, and the Father has given all things into his hands. Verse 20, and through him is the Father's, verse 19, is Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, Yet he has now reconciled you. He has made us clean. He has made us holy. How can that be? He has done it because he has the power to do it, and because he is pure and holy from the beginning, before all things. He has reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. There we are. That's us. We are holy and blameless and beyond reproach because we believe in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as our God, the Son of God, as the provider, as the creator, as the fulfiller, the light, the truth, the life. He is all those things, all those names we sing in some of our choruses and songs. He is those. He is. It's not sort of, it's not maybe, there's no doubt. There's no doubt in the heavenlies. There's no doubt in the evil one. I don't understand that relationship. What the Lord exactly is doing and why Satan is still alive, exists. I don't know whether alive is exactly the right word. But the Lord has control entirely. Without doubt, and the power to fulfill everything that he has promised. All the promises of the scripture, he will fulfill. And he will cleanse all the evil from the world. And the new Jerusalem, as we see in Revelation, will come down out of heaven. And all of us will be together with him. Praise God. And it doesn't look like it's very far away. And that's okay. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your loving kindness to us, that you, Lord, there is no doubt of your preeminence, of your power, of your kingship. You are our Savior. And without you, we have no hope. But with you, we have all hope. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you have shown us, your testimony among us, your testimony that we have witnessed in those who have gone before us. We do praise you and thank you and give you glory, for you will fulfill all truth and all bring light, destroying the darkness. Lord, you will fulfill everything that is needed. We thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are faithful and true and trustworthy. In your name, Lord, we do pray. Amen.
I've looked up the phrase "all things" before. It appears almost as much as the words "faith" and "love." Like there's lay faith and love and all things, but it's not just words. It's a reality, like you said. Yeah. In John, it's about the beginning, right? John 1. This is the end. 1 Corinthians. Then cometh this 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. And when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest, revealed, I guess, that he is accepted, that's the Lord Jesus, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, our Lord Jesus Christ, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all.